Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows the song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, drum.
Kind of hard to find sometimes.
But anyway, good evening. I hope that everybody's feeling well and in good health. That's the main thing, good health. And trying to keep warm, depending where you're at. Unless you're in the Bahamas or someplace like that. But we've been having a storm all week. I mean, I ain't lying. I'm talking about a real storm. A blizzard. Can you imagine a four-day blizzard? We got mountains outside the house. Today, finally made it out, though. You know, got out and boogied down the icy road to the store, you know. Even this four-wheel drive, you'd be sliding sideways this way and that way, you know. People think four-wheel drive is, you know, you can haul ass and stuff. Four-wheel drive don't help you in ice, let me tell you. Only four-wheel drive is good for us if you get in a ditch or something, slide off. Maybe it'll help you crawl back out. There's four-wheel drives parked, sitting in, you know, got slid off the road. And next thing you know, they're covered with snow. Like, 'cause the snow is blowing so hard. Next thing you're covered with snow. I mean, that's how quick it covers you up, like 25-mile-per-hour winds, 50-mile-per-hour gusts. You know, it was something peeking out the window. Just stayed inside, you know. But, and then there are no cars. They couldn't drive, so all the drunks were stuck. There's probably hurting, you know. Everybody was hurting, all the dopeies and all that, because you can't go, couldn't go out, you know. So it was pretty quiet all week, except for the wind and all that. But I feel bad, you know. There's a lot of people that you know, they don't have no way to keep warm a lot of times except blankets. You know, and our people, you know, I was listening to the psychologist. The psychologist was talking about narcissists. He said, narcissists are quick to take credit for stuff. But quick to deny responsibility for things that, you know, they should be responsible for. I was thinking about that. Man, our whole tribe must be narcissists. Because after this storm, like probably 3 or 4 days from now, they're going to be saying, yeah, we cleared the road. We made things life. You know, but during this storm, even before it, like Monday, we went to get Kamaz. It was shut down. And it wasn't storming. It was drizzling and stuff Monday afternoon. You know, it's like they quit working for any damn reason, and they call it administrative leave, you know. And today, I finally got out, and so I knew that our little store down in Rosebud was probably, you know, packed, so we passed that and went headed towards Mission. And here there's a big truck blocking the whole road. So cars stop. Here comes a cop and tells me, are you essential? I said, essential? What is that? I don't even know that word. You know, I said, what is that? He said, are you essential? Is it essential? I said, wow, it's essential. I go down to the store, you know. He said, no, essential means are you a doctor, police officer, or whatever that needs to be out there? If you're not, you're violating our order, travel. They made a travel deal in, I guess the tribe made it, you know. Travel restrictions. So I heard they could charge you $200. And he said, yeah. I said, when they do that? He said, yesterday. Tribe made it yesterday. I said, well, how are we supposed to know that? We're supposed to read their mind? Well, we put it on the radio. You know, who the hell listens to the radio nowadays? 2023, who the hell listens to the radio? You know, anybody listens to the radio? I mean, when you're driving down the road, maybe tuned in, but I don't listen to the radio because they got rap music, all kinds of bull crap on the radio. You know, I'm an old guy. I don't need to have ear rape, you know. I don't need to have my ears raped. So I don't listen to that crap. You know what I mean? And when you're an old guy, you know, you ain't gonna, so what, I'm supposed to be ear raped all day just to get messages from the tribe? How with that? Anyway, I told that cop, I said, well, I'm turning around and go back. He said, all right. So there was other cars there. He was going car to car, I guess. I don't know. But I took off and came back. I went to Allstop, went in. Well, I didn't go in there. And Natasha and them went in there, and they said, Allstop, the shelves are blank. But the stuff they had there, I seen Indians coming out. Man, you know what they live on? They were hauling out 12 packs of soda, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, orange, the orange drinks, all this stuff, you know. And yeah, they had some other groceries there, but they had shopping carts full, but the bottom half was having 12 packs in it. You know, I always sit out there and just watch our people, because our people are going through mass change right now. I mean, really mass change. They don't know how to dress no more, because they're trying to look like punk rockers or whatever you want to call it, or dress like Hasapas or something. You know what I mean? When I was young Indians, you know, we only had one style. That was what style we slapped on. It was jeans, shirt, t-shirt, you know. Yeah, that's what I'll sheet you, but that's all we had. But that's what we were. These modern times, these people are trying to look some kind of way, man. I mean, bright red pants, bright yellow pants, you know, with purple hair or light blue hair. Indians don't look good. And then now, because we got so many mixed breeds, you know, a lot of the Indians are hairy as hell. So looks like a bunch of Arabs coming out of the store, you know. And then we got them that trying to be BIA, running around with short haircuts, you know, like military. It's just a gas. I just go to the store. I mean, I could stay home. I just go to the store just to gawk. Anyway, let me open up here. And I was talking about, you know, they're having same-sex marriages now. It's legal. So, you know, you're tired of your woman, you can go marry a man. You know, you don't need to have sex or nothing. Just go marry a man, you know, share your properties. Hey, Tosh, are you there? Is anybody hearing me?
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, well,
what's going on?
I didn't hear you, though.
I heard everything you said.
Yeah, but I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
I was muted.
A big difference. Yeah.
What's your name? I had to get my mute button on.
About so time you found the mute button.
Last week, I didn't have that, so I had to find it this week.
Where did you find it at? Down in the backside?
up in the left-hand corner.
Up by left-hand corner, that's up there by the ears someplace. So. Wow. I just play with you, Tosh. You know.
Yeah, with you.
But you know, it's your turn right now. You know.
Yeah, what's we'll check in. We'll get started then. You know, let's pray for everybody out there. You know, there's this weather change. You know, long ago we had this type of weather with what we're going through. That we had that all year long. People never experienced that, and it's back around. So who knows? But anyway, we'll say a prayer and we'll get started.
Really appreciate these prayers, and our people do need prayers. You know, like you said, years ago, I could shoot a deer and throw the deer on the roof, and it would stay frozen. All, you know, I'd just go up there and cut a piece off. Now it's cold, and then it warms up. Well, this week it's gonna by Tuesday or Wednesday it's gonna get 25 below zero. So you know, we got to really be ready, and that's when your pipes and everything start going in. It's really hard to control things then, you know. So, but back in the day, you know, like when I lived with my grandma, we lived in a little one-room, what you would call, what the Washita would call a one-room shack, you know. That was our one-room, my grandma's one-room mansion, you know. And there was no water, so we didn't worry about no water pipes. And she had a wood stove in there. Man, we was cozy. And they used to have these milk containers. She had that filled with water. And every morning she'd fill up the wash basin with water and make me wash up, you know. Nowadays, I don't have nobody to tell me to wash up, so I'm funky. You know, but grandma made me wash up, you know, every morning, you know.
Oh, funky. Back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different types of hard now. You know, back when we were kids, we had to haul water. You know, like you were saying, there's no running water inside. There's different types of. Today, I think these kids are going to have it harder because they're so used to, like you were saying, trying to be punk rockers and, you know, these cutoffs and, you know, tennis shoes, and it's snowing and they have a park on and nothing down below, you know, a cutoff. And these kids nowadays don't understand. They didn't live with this type of weather. And you know, they think that with the winter time is their buddy. No, winter has no friends. That's what the old people used to tell us. Used to tell us. Take a heavy jacket and some quilts wherever you go. And they told us that. Everything is going to go, you know. They said winter, Wazia has no friends. If he wants a life, he's going to take it. That's what they used to tell us. And they used to tell us to dress appropriately. And nobody does that nowadays, like you was talking about. You know, sitting and watching these people, our people. Right now, back home, there's a lot of people that can't get to dialysis. And they can't get to the hospital. No, I mean, they're in bad shape, our people. And the tribe doesn't help any because they only have a couple of plows for the whole reservation. And the Washitus, they have everything. You know, they got it together. because they get funding. We don't. But the tribe sits there and makes all these loans, lying to people to pat their own pockets. Nobody says nothing about that. And these young kids, anytime they get money, they go run into the store because they don't have to put up with what we did when we was younger. So they're going to have, you know, we had it hard, but they're going to have it harder. And there's a different hard that this next generation is going to be faced with. And it's not going to be kind to them. And they got to realize that. You know, they got to start looking at that. How many of those people out in the districts, living out in the country, have wood stoves? They have electricity, a lot of them. When that propane gives out or electricity gives out, they have nothing. Now, like you have a wood stove, can't you? You know, you just fire that up and you ain't worried about electricity. You know what I mean?
I can burn the kitchen table if I have to.
Yeah.
You know,
but look at these people out in the districts. Once that house, that electricity and that heat gone, they got nothing. The pipes are gonna freeze. They're gonna burst. Their houses are gonna be flooded. You know, and a lot of them have little kids, have elderly living with them. What are they gonna do about those things?
Yeah.
And they never get
to. That's what I worry about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, Tom, every one of us got a blanket. We had our own blankets. My mom made blankets. We call them grandma blankets. She made blankets, and every one of us had our own blanket. And we took that with us wherever we went. Jumping in the car, we had a blanket with us, you know. And, and I carried, my mom had me a blanket, you know. I had my mom's blanket with me even when I was trucking. I had my blanket with me in the truck, same blanket, you know. And, and they, you know, they don't do that no more, you know. You know, they don't know how to live, you know. And, you know, you have to learn how to live in this world, because this world is all about money. And if you have no money and you're dependent on that, what do you do, you know? And I always feel bad for people out in the cities, because, you know, like we get commodities once a month, except for, you know, of course it was close. I want to try to get commodities, but it kind of gets me mad that the tribes like that. But we still get commodities, you know, and, you know, a lot of people don't like commodities, so they eat what they can and then give the dog or whatever the rest, and they don't realize. When a bad time comes, you should have not thrown that commodity you don't like out, you know? You know? People got really picky. I don't like commodity peanut butter. You know, I don't really like that stuff, you know? You know? My kids don't eat commodity peanut butter. My kids don't drink commodity milk. You know? Yeah. This woman I knew back day, you know, she is like that. So what I did was got the Kamau peanut butter and throw the Skippy peanut jar, you know, filled it up. Her kids didn't know the difference. And then the milk, that powdered milk we used to get, I'd stir it up and pour it in a milk jug that you buy from the store. Those kids didn't know the difference. You know, they're still eating cereal and stuff, you know. But people make crap up. Are they say, we got to watch out for this and that. But you know what? I was raised on Kamad. You know, my grandma used to have that we had Kamad butter. Remember that Kamad butter and the cheese? That we get the good, that's good cheese, man. It's better than the store, you know? And, you know, but, you know, people are got so modern they put down food. So when they can't hit Golden Corral, or they can't you know, they live on those I seen them, the minions going into the store buying those frozen, those kind of microwave burgers and stuff, loading up on that stuff, our ramen noodles, you know, and things like that, you know. And, you know, we get, they throw away the spaghetti and macaroni.
Oh, I don't eat macaroni and cheese. That's what they give you in jail,
you know.
Oh, for God's sakes.
You know, but shit, you know what? Macaroni is macaroni. It's made like, it's like spaghetti and anything else. They're all made the same, you know. They're all noodles, you know. Shit, I throw down on macaronis. I might throw a hamburger and tomato sauce in it, or I might just throw cheese in it, you know. And, you know, but that, you know, I eat kamats. I don't care what anybody says. I eat kamats. And when I was young, that's what we ate. And even our babies, remember, our babies drank kamad milk with Carol syrup in it. Our, remember, they used to give us syrup, kamads, corn syrup and stuff.
Yeah.
And pour it in a bottle and shake it up. Yeah, and pour it in a bottle, shake it up, and baby drink it. Got cheeks for days, you know. You know.
Hey, Wombly.
Yeah.
Hey, when I was younger, we used to get that government cheese too. Me and my brother used to turn cheese into fish. We would actually take that cheese and we would turn it into little cheese balls, put it on a fishing hook, and we'd be catching catfish all day long. We'd bring home a whole bunch of catfish.
Trout like it.
God, it was great.
You know, trout like it too. See, that's the other thing. You know, how many people go fishing nowadays? You know, when I was young, I go fishing, go out. First thing I do, I have a shovel. I start digging out and getting worms, you know. So one day I took my nephew and some other kids, you know, they came from California. So I said, let's go fishing. All right. So I had a shovel. I said, here. They said, what are you going to do? I said, we got to dig for worms. Oh, well, I'll go next time. And they just walked away. You know? They didn't, to me, digging worms is part of the, it's like a ritual, like a ceremony when you do things. You get off into it. First you go get the worms or the bait you're going to use, you know? And it's all a ceremony. You go and then go fishing, you know, then you, you know, but nowadays kids don't want to do nothing. You know, I got stuck out, was deer hunting. I got stuck out in the snow and I got out and was digging. And it was like 20 below zero out there, but the sun was out. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was digging, you know, left a shovel. So I had a hubcap back there. I was whipping out snow in that hubcap. And the kid, teenage kid, was just sitting there, shotgun. I said, hey, man, get your ass out and help me. He said, shit, I'm cold. I said, you know what? You see that sun? When it goes down behind that hill, I said, you're going to know what cold is. I said, then you might not wake up in the morning. We might be dead. If you don't get your ass out and help me. Man, when he started looking, he jumped out. Man, he looked like, he looked like a snow machine. He was whipping snow out. Next thing, we got the hell out of there, you know. Once he realized what I told him, you know, he was a young kid, like 16, 17, and he was taller than me and more muscular. But he didn't want to get out in that snow. But when I told him about the sun goes down, I said, once it goes behind that hill and we don't get out of here, we're fucked, you know. I told him, we're in trouble. We might not even be alive in the morning. Man, So like I said, he jumped out and he looked like a snow machine, man. Snow was flying out in the tires. Shit. We got out of there. After that, he didn't want to go hunting with me no more. But I didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, that's the modern people. They don't want to do nothing, you know. They don't want to fish. They don't want to hunt. And, you know, they just want freebies all day long, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it ain't like that. What do you do when you get old, you know? When you get old, we take care of our kids. But what happens when we're gone and they don't know how to take care of themselves? You know, what kind of life are they going to live in the future? That's what I see. You know, I see,
yep.
I'm coming back and I see grown people walking down the road because they don't have wheels, transportation and all that. And, you know, I picked up a girl and she jumped in the back of the pickup, but I drove slow so she don't freeze. And she was hauling three bags, plastic bags of groceries, you know, walking. So I gave her a ride. But, you know, the thing is, you know, we have to live a responsible life, and that's really hard to. But these people, these men, they spend their money on alcohol, and then, you know, when they're broke, there they are walking down the road, you know, with their woman or their kids. And I don't respect that, because I always make sure people around me have a way to travel, you know what I mean, or do something, you know. But I don't like to see women walking, and damn sure don't like to see them, you know. But they don't have nobody to help them, you know. A man shows, and then a lot of times it's their fault because they pick these macho men, you know, especially these Facebook lovers. They find it, they jump on these men taking photos of themselves, bandana, sunglasses, sometimes bare-chested, you know. I say, what the hell, you know? I mean, why the hell a guy taking a picture with sunglasses on Facebook and wearing a face mask? How are you going to catch COVID over the internet? But they think it's a style. They got a bandana down to the top of their eyes and then a mask right below the eyes and sunglasses in between it. You know, I mean, our people are screwed up. They don't even know how to style, man. I mean, they don't know how to style. Think they got a style. They look like crap, you know. And you know, it's sickening that they live that way. And, man, so they wear anything. I seen a guy wearing a pair of pants. The bottom half of the pants were made of other pants. Like one leg was yellow and one leg was blue, and he thought that looked cool. And he was strutting around. You know, I said, damn. You know,
holy Christ.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, had his legs cut off, but had different pants. He had one leg one color and one leg another color, and was strutting around with some big red tennis shoes.
They put different shoes on, different color. That's like these kids that put different colored shoes on, and, you know, they're different brands, and they think that's cool. You know, shit, to me, they look like the Joker that entertains that king in those old Christian movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then to top it off, I don't know if it's just they like wear big shoes or their feet's big, but damn, some of these youngsters got feet longer than how, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, you know what? I wear size 8. And nowadays I wear size 9s because I'm too lazy to some nines I can just slip on, you know. Throw some toilet paper up front, slip on, you know. But you know, when I was young, we all had small feet. Larry, Is Larry there?
Yeah.
Hey, Larry, what size here. Shoes did you used to wear? Size 8, right? You didn't wear size 8, huh?
Ten
shit.
And a half. No way.
Double Y. Shit. Looks like he had duck feet, in other words. You know, he had paddles. He had paddles. You know?
She looked like Donald Duck going the other way.
My little nephew was wearing some baggy pants, you know. He thought he looked cool, and then he was wearing those train boots. Remember the train boots? They're round and black engineer boots. Bikers wear them a lot. They're black and round at the, and then you pull them up, and they have a. He had them on with them baggy pants. I said, man, you look like you got hoofs. Because his pants covered just everything except a little. He looked like he had hoofs, you know. But he thought he looked cool, you know. You know, one time my son bought some baggy pants. I gave him some money, and he spent $50 on a pair of pants. I got pissed off. I slapped him on. I put him on. He said, what are you doing? I said, we're going to town, and I have put them pants on all the way up. He said, come on, Dad. I said, no. He said, you're joking. I said, I ain't joking. Get in the goddamn car. He got in the car, and we went out. He said, really? Are you going to go? I said, we're going to the mall. He said, you're going to the mall dressed like that? I said, hell yeah, don't I look cool? He laughed. I said, what the F's so funny? I said, you think you're the only one that looks cool with these pants on? I said, don't I look cool? Why do you look cool with them and I don't look cool? You know? But he was sure happy when I turned around and laughed. I was just running a joke on him. But you see, they think they look cool with that on. But if we did that, we'd look stupid, right? So why do they think they look cool?
You know? Honestly, if we did that growing up, our parents, man, they chewed us up, you know.
Hell yeah.
Because it wasn't right for us to do that, you know, and we knew that.
Uncles knew too.
Yeah, and then all your uncles and your grandpas, everybody would jump on you for that, you know. And that's
remember when
that.
Bell Bottoms came out?
Yeah.
Remember when Bell Bottoms came out? I know Philip and these other ones are young ones, but when Bell Bottoms came out in the 60s, shit.
I remember.
I went to school, everybody was wearing Bell Bottoms. But my dad didn't want me wearing Bell Bottoms and that stuff. So what I had to do, I had those baby needles, and I needled them together at the bottom, made them look tight, and walked out the house with tight pants down at the bottom. But when I got around the corner at the bus pants, I took off those safety needles and whipped out the bell-bottoms. And then I even changed my strut. I had a strut with them bell-bottoms. You know? But when I left the house, I was looking all humble, you know, tight down around. But when I got around the corner, I whipped out them, took off them safety needles, and damn, I was struggling with them bell bottoms. Yeah. And remember that we had to sew a piece on the side to make them bell bottoms, you know?
Yeah.
I bet you Vimber looked cool in his bell bottoms, because I know, you know.
We was out in the boonies, stuff like that. You know, they wouldn't let us use that stuff like you said. You know, we didn't really have bell bottoms. You know, even at school, when we went to school, they didn't let us use
you was on the rest. We was down there mixed in with them essays, you know.
Yeah.
With them cats. You know. So we was, órale pues ese.
In high school.
You know.
Yeah, in high school, some of the kids were, but we never did because of our parents. You know, they didn't believe in that hippie fad is what they called it. Our parents, they didn't let us do that. We couldn't be hippies when we was younger. You know, nowadays shit anything goes. Yeah. You know, like you're saying that the, you know, people throwing legs on bottom of, you know, she, I mean, I don't know, she, you look around, huh, she, man, that's what I was saying. It's getting pretty rugged, no matter where you go. And you know, there's a lot of these guys, man, they I don't know, huh, she, you know, it's, that's what I always talk about, red, white men, you know, that it's getting closer and closer to that. You know, look at during that pandemic, when that pandemic hit, people ought to think about that. Look at these stores. What was in these stores? Nothing. There was nothing to buy. You know, if there's a big blizzard, if it hits, you know, and different states, different areas where they get this stuff, what's going to happen? You know, California here got hit with that storm. A lot of these shelves will be empty. Crackers, different things aren't in the shelves because those trucks couldn't come through. You know, and yeah. Back home, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And what are they going to do? Like you was talking about those commodities. You know, they ought to rotate those. You know, keep them, rotate them. You know, these people are nuts. We're paying $7 for a bag of that powdered milk. You know, and they're throwing them away back home, you know, beans, you know, rice, all this stuff, you know, you go to these trash piles and you see them and you wonder, what are people doing, you know? We have to pay for that stuff, you know?
Yeah, they throw beans away, man. You know what? I just made me some white beans. Well, I've been tearing up on them for the last 2 days. White beans, you know, and then I make pinto beans. Man, they don't want to eat that stuff, you know? Like I said, and plus, they just damn don't want to cook.
That's what it is. You get them dried beans. That's work. That's work. That's love. That's putting love into the food that you're making, because you got to sit there and you go through the dry beans and you take out all the stones that got put in there by accident, and then you've got to rinse them off, and then you soak them, and then you rinse them off and you soak, because you got to degas them, because if you don't degas them like that, then you're going to be farting up a storm for several days. So you do all that, and then you have to cook them. And they want everything now. That's why our people have such a problem with diabetes and that, because they want all this processed food, this processed bullshit that's basically fake food, and they're happy with it, because then they don't have to do anything but stick it in a freaking microwave.
Should be That's cool now. You're on. Almost giving me an you almost give me erection. Talking about with love, you know, and all this. I said, "Whoo!" You know,
with my pinto beans, I put a ham hock in that some bitch, and I cook them slow and long, and man, my beans come out great. And nobody's farting.
That's what I do. Hey, don't use that word, because Vimber's selling the air, you know. Kind of rousing.
You know,
kind of rousing.
Hey, the
he's looking.
You know, the other thing he was talking about is this macaroni. You know, pasta's pasta, no matter how you look at it, you know. It's made the same way. So what's the difference between McDonald's macaroni and come on macaroni, not a damn thing. Peanut butter, like you were saying. When we used to get come on, those big old cans of peanut butter, shit, that was like gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, shit.
Hey,
you know what? I put peanut butter.
You know, I go to
peanut
the food
butter
pantries.
Syrup, you know, gobble
bread.
Yeah,
those those food pantries, they get a lot of them get some really good stuff. Like the one that I go to actually gets stuff from Trader Joe's. Dude, I'm holding a thing of creamy peanut butter right now. This is peanut butter with honey, sweetened with honey.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean,
yeah.
Some of these places, and the peanut butter's not bad. It's really freaking good. I mean, it's separated. I have to stir it up. You know, because it's a fresher peanut butter. It's not the processed peanut butter that doesn't separate. The oil doesn't separate from the grindings. But, I mean, I'll stir it up. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know what else we get? We don't get the powdered milk. What we get is these shelf-stable milk. It's packaged in a container. It's liquid milk, and it's the way they package it. It's good on the shelf for years. It's 1% or 2% milk, but it tastes the same. It doesn't, and I know that taste of powdered milk. It does have a little funny taste to it, but this stuff doesn't. And sometimes we'll even get soy milk or coconut milk. I mean, that's why I go to these food pantries.
No, I even have a taste for powdered milk, you know, because, like I said, I was raised on all this stuff, you know. Powder, even that canned milk, we used to get canned milk. I even like that. I used to get that.
Yeah, the condensed.
Yeah, my grandma used to give me that with cookies. I'd dip it in that, and, you know. I mean, grandma knew how to make stuff taste right, you know. And, you know, they don't do that no more. You know, like right now, they're going to have Christmas holidays coming up, you know. And a lot of people, you know, they're struggling because, you know, they think they got to go out and, you know, but I don't care. I mean, I might buy a piece of meat, or maybe we might get, I don't know if we'll get a turkey or something, you know. I don't know what the tribe's going to do, but I might buy a piece of ham, and then the rest, I got kamad yams, I got kamad, you know. And then I still have some zucchini from the gardens. And then I have some dried meat still, you know. So I have some dried meat in there. My brother really made me remember my mom made papa soup with rice. I said, shit, right after he said that, I was digging around for rice. Found some, too. So, you know, I was digging in the kamad section of the house, you know, and found some rice. Papa soup is rice, nah, you know. Really
that sounds
good stuff, you know. Yeah, that dried meat, you know. With,
especially
rice
on these cold-ass days when you need that.
Hey, did you guys get the storm yet?
Home
or
cooking.
Is it just coming? Did you get the storm yet, or is it just getting there?
It's just getting here, but, man, it is cold as hell.
Well, you know what? I was looking at
it. It's really cold out.
Ventusky or Ventusky, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I watched that, and that purple mass is coming down. It's already down in South Dakota, on eastern South Dakota, but it's going to be it's going to swoop down. And then it's heading your way. So
it's weird because I just saw that I was watching a Browns game. They were showing what happened in Buffalo. It's like it went right around us because it didn't start really snowing here until about the middle of the fourth quarter of the football game tonight. That was around.
Well, you get on the website of Ventusky, and you're gonna see it ain't going around you. It's coming at you now. Yeah, and we're gonna.
Because they were saying the East
below.
Coast was getting it.
You know, they ain't got it yet. I'm watching it. I'm staring at it right now.
Ah, okay.
I watch this stuff. You know, I don't go here by hearsay. I'm looking at this sucker right now. And it's down and it's moving east slowly. But like like Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to be 25 below zero. After that, the next week, we're going to move back up into the 30s, bikini weather, you know, back up in the 30s. But next week,
we'll be seeing you in no bikini on Facebook.
Oh, man.
You haven't seen a heat wave in that territory.
Yeah. Can you see a rhino with a bikini on with a little curly tail?
Man. I didn't even see it. What a beautiful sight.
You didn't just ruin my day, you root it. Weather's coming.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
You know, the cold, you know, Toshi, this is the beginning of winter. It's not even here yet, you know, and that's the thing.
Well,
see, these people got to wisen up that, you know, so a lot of these people, even if it's one of those tanks, those propane tanks, those little ones, keep those around. That way you can keep your house warm, you know what I mean? But I say, even electricity gives out. All those houses, their heaters can't kick on without that electricity, see? And that's what I'm saying. A lot of these HUD houses that they built out in these districts and stuff, they're dependent on propane and electricity. Where's the wood stove? Just a few of them have wood stoves. The first ones that were built might have wood stoves. And these new ones, they don't. It's all electric, you know? And so the people back home, it might be a beautiful house. Then they tell you can't put a wood stove in there. It's against the law is what they tell you, see? So people back home are going to be screwed if they don't get on their leadership and start doing something positive for the future. And then,
you know, Wednesday and Thursday, we're having another storm.
Yeah.
Snowstorm.
Wow.
Man.
Hey, you should have told that guy that asked if you were essential. You should have said, yeah, I am essential. I'm essential to my family and bringing home food.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This is what, just a suggestion. Maybe you guys might want to go to one of these tribal council meetings and bring it up. But if they're getting all this money, then, you know, they have Amber Alert systems. Why don't they do something like that? They can get federal funding to add that to thing to say, hey, we have a travel alert, a travel ban, you know, try to stay off the roads. I mean, it's really freaking simple. I mean, we get it with tornado warnings and stuff comes across my phone. We had an Amber Alert this afternoon.
And you know, it
came across my phone.
You know, our tribal councils, they don't worry about people or things that's needed amongst all the people. They only worry about where their paycheck's going to come from. That's the problem with the leadership that we have. They worry about they fool themselves. They don't do no work. They don't do nothing. Because of their job title, there's a paycheck attached, and that is the only thing they look at. See? They don't care about the people out in the districts or, you know, they don't care about who they represent once they get in there. And this is the problem with this 34 system. It's not only our res, it's everywhere. You know, my wife went back to her reservation. She said that the whole tribal council went on a vacation to Hawaii on the tribe's dime.
No.
To have a council meeting, to have a council meeting in Hawaii. You know, what's in Hawaii that, you know, here they are being tourists over there. Those people don't want tourists. Those Indians over there don't want tourists at all. But yet here they are going over there on the people's dime. See, and that's the same that goes on back home. They go to all these council meetings in Las Vegas and wherever the heck else they're, you know, all these. What do they do? The problem isn't there. The problem is on the reservation. Look what's going on now. They're scrambling. They don't know what to do because the roads got to be opened for these people to go to dialysis, to go to the hospital, to emergencies, all these other things. There's a lot of sickly people on the reservation. A lot of sickly. It's not just our reservation. It's every reservation. And my wife said the tribal council up there is trying to do away with the elderly help programs that they have because they want to travel to Hawaii again next year. You know, this is the stuff that goes on with these, and yet when the people complain about it, then they say, oh, they got sovereignty, limited sovereignty. See? And these people sitting in these offices believe that.
Wow.
What the heck is limited sovereignty? There is no such thing. But they sure like to put it out there, see? And I don't get it. And look at all these kids like Country was talking about. You know, walking around, pink hair, you know, lowrider pants. Well, it's blizzard, you know, with different shoes on and pants legs and no overshoes, you know. They're not dressed for the winter. They don't even know how to dress for the winter. You know, and like Country said, if they get into a bind, they're going to freeze to death. That's the bottom line. And there's no in between, see. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen more and more on our reservations. And like I was saying, this is the beginning. This is just the start of winter. And already, look what happened. How are these guys going to survive when there's two or three of them stacked up? Like Tanshi said, there's another one coming in. By the time they get dug out, another one hits. It covers them back up. They're back to square one again.
Yeah, but tribal council
gas, no electricity.
Or
you know,
sitting in Hawaii, and they're just as bad as Ted Cruz leaving for Mexico during that storm last year. Remember that?
Yeah. You know, and that's what's happening with these tribal councils are getting more and more, washituized, I guess is a better way of putting it, agreed.
Well, they've always been washituized.
But when the people
think about it,
when the people
European construct.
When the people want something done about it, then that's where the courts, everybody that is supposed to be representing you say, oh, sovereignty. They even have laws now to where you can't even argue at your councilman. You can't even ask him a question. If he feels threatened, it's a federal offense.
But yet you voted him in.
You know, it's crazy. You know.
You know,
so who's there? Who's out there? Who's out there to help these people?
Well, right now,
you're
nobody's getting nothing.
Left to your own.
You know, Tush, you're in a pretty good predicament because your old lady Karen's and dries meat, all this stuff. Shit, you got a leg up on a lot of people. You don't need to go to the store and buy candy to go home and you know, get a false reading on your whatever for being fooled. You know, get a sugar rush. You know, that's what these kids are doing. Kid, when we was growing up, you know, we hunted along the creeks. Rabbit,
my
there was rabbit
bread.
You know,
my mom and grandma made bread every day.
Yep.
And all this week, like Natasha made bread, so we had bread, bean soup, you know, and still have zucchini. you know, and when you want something, you know, like, because somebody ain't lazy around here. You know what I mean? When you're lazy, and these modern people are lazy, and that's why they have to go around, you know? I mean, when you dip homemade bread in the soup, that was when that soup tasted good, you know, buttered up.
Yep.
You know, and but you know, people don't know how to live no more, so they ain't making bread. You know, they're not making this or that. You know, it's a shame that people have to run to the store. Those people that live across from Allstop, you know, they have a housing across there. Shit, they're running back and forth all night into Allstop till it closes. I mean, you know, not all night, but, you know, they're over there spending money. You know?
What's the Allstop? Is that kind of like a big bats there in Pine Ridge?
No, it turned into a market, you know? I think, you know, this, he had a little thing going, and one day it got on fire and burnt up in here. He got insurance money. I don't know if that was planned or what, but it turned into a pretty good little market. He sells gas out front. He's got a market. He's got a little, during the week you can get burgers, and, you know, they got a grill over there. And, so it turned into a pretty good little market. Sometimes he sells meat pretty cheap, you know.
St. Francis is moving up. At downtown.
No, this is Rose, but St. Francis is still beat up.
Okay.
You know. You know, but
still got Band-Aid on it.
Yeah. I mean, they got Belandras and Mike Bolts. They got B&Bs, you know, and they make good money there too. That's why they raise the prices up, because the people that don't have wheels, Indians, for some reason, once it gets dark, they're headed to the store for their snacks. Man, you know, you can see them colder than hell, them walking out with cutoffs and hoodies, but sipping on a smoothie, you know.
You know, Tanshi, speaking of that, you know, that what you're talking about, that's why there's all that diabetes. People's health are, you know what I mean? People don't think about it. You know, take, for instance, look at Porcupine, right down the road there, Sharp's Corner. When that's open, man, how many kids walk over there just for a bag of candy or a big soda, you know? And this is, and this is every day. And Pine Ridge is the same way. Just about every district, they have a little convenience store that does this, that caters. And like you were saying, they sell burgers and stuff. You know, a lot of that stuff ain't good for people, you know, but yet they it's fast, it's convenient, so they throw it out there. You know?
Remember before they had bats, they just had yellow birds. And Yellowbird was always busy, you know. It's still busy, you know, because people don't want to wait in line at bats. They go to Yellowbirds. And then they had White Clay, you know. But, you know, Big Bats is packed all the time now, you know. And, you know, they just sell junk. You know, but Allstop turned into a little market. You know, it's up there on the flat when you come into Rosebud, like where the hospital is on top of the hill there.
I know where you're talking about.
Lenny works down here now, so he's always in Allstop every day. You know, waits for him. He orders him a sandwich, and he's standing in there. I was standing in there. They call his name, Lenny. I said, Bunny. I said, They call him Bunny. Is that you?
I'm going to call him that when I see him. Daddy.
I said, they're saying Buddy. And he jumped and they went over there. I said, is that you, Buddy? I'm just teasing him.
That's a good one. I'm going to remember that when I see him.
But I'll stop, you know. Like, I was going to go to Bowie's today, you know, because I knew Allstop was, the shops were empty. And Indians all eat the same stuff. Like, I went in there to just, in a hurry, buy some cans of chili beans or menudo, and here, that's gone. Everything Indians eat is gone, you know, off the shelf. And then they're buying all the soda up, see, and all that. But he's smart. He has extra trucks delivering that stuff. You know, like you said, for diabetes, you know.
They stock up on that stuff with Liberty. You know, anything that sells quick, they make sure they have extra, and they stock up on it. That's how they make banks. That's like I was saying, like Sharps. Man, Sharps goes through a lot of sodas, a lot of junk foods. You walk in there, first thing you see is those soda pumps. Then there's all the candy, chips, everything you want. The food is to the back, you know. And that's how it is, see. And these Indians, well, I think we're in trouble, don't you? When I think about it, you know what I mean?
We're old guys, so we ain't going to be around to see it, but you know what?
Yeah.
In 50 years, I hate to see what our people look like, because these kids right now that are in their 20s, 50 years from now, they're going to be probably dead, but if some of them do live, I don't think none of them will make it our age, you know, because they're living rugged lives on purpose.
You know,
You know, because...
That's the country. That's the reason why the United States government they have this thing that they did a survey. Life expectancy on any reservation is 45 years old. So if you live past 45, they consider you a miracle. It's Washitos. That's the way the government, that's how they look at you. Look at all the next generation coming up. Here a couple of weeks ago, shit, there was about 6 kids under the age of 30 that all died from alcohol. Cirrhosis, fighting, car wrecks. 6 of them, and they were stacked up trying to get a building so they could have a wake. So that
wow.
And they said what is it? The guy charges $1,500 for that building to use, you know. And just think of, you know, people stacked up to get in there. Then whoever owns that building is making bank off of debt. And I mean, holy Christ, that's 6 kids in one community that's gone. There's nothing you could do about it. So, I mean, the future, you know, of the Lakota people looks bleak. Any reservations for that matter. And then, like I say, and in between is that suicide. These kids commit suicide at a high rate. But yet nobody on the res, you know, back when me and June Linwood talked about that, way back in the day, probably around the early 80s, we asked about that. And we were told they were working on it. So we asked about it in the 90s. And they told us they were still working on it. And I asked not too long ago about, you know, the same thing, because I asked about it way back, and they told me they're still working on it. So that's 50 years of my life that I heard they're working on. Just that suicide prevention. And there's nothing done about it yet. And it's one of the biggest epidemics on the reservation is that. These kids that drink themselves to death, basically that's all they're doing is committing suicide too. And that's why I say, at the same time, look at diabetes. Look at all these, man, I mean, you know, like you were saying, those fast food places, they stock up on extra destruction, you know, to sell to the people. So it's not only alcohol, it's all like the foods. I hate to see what it's going to be like in 50 years, Tanshi, like you said. You know, because...
Yeah, it's wicked, man.
You know, crazy. You know, and then, like you were saying, you sit at the store and watch these young kids doing all these stupid things. And they think it's okay because they're mimicking the Washichu, the Hasapa, you know. They're trying to be them. And to me, that's sad as hell. We're Lakota. We ain't Hasapa. We ain't Washichu. We ain't Pechokanuska. You know, we ain't none of them. We're Lakota. We have, you know, we should be proud of who we are instead of trying to copy somebody else. They should be copying us, which a lot of them do, but they copy the wrong thing. All these people want to be medicine men, you know. Shameful as hell. You know, they're all trying to be something. It's another thing that's weakening our people. You have all these guys. Look at all these film dances going on. Everybody being, oh, that he's a medicine man. He's a shaman. He's this. He's that. People that don't even speak Lakota or have a bloodline in the medicine are playing Baka, you know. And it's everywhere. And at the same time, you add all this other stuff to it, like the foods we eat, like we were saying. Then these blizzards that are going to hit. Those guys, they don't know how to survive. They don't even know, like Kanshi said, they don't even know how to lift a shovel to shovel a car out of the ditch. What, you know, man, it's, I think about it, Kanshi, and it's sad. You know, my boys, at least, they know what to do, you know. They know how to take care of themselves. At least I taught them that. And I could probably say, you know, they know what to do. They know how to survive.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids don't.
Skills.
Yeah.
They got skills. Look at Richard, man. This guy's got skills. They got skills, your boys, you know. And being a young man, that's why Grandma used to tell me she really prays for young men, because we men have a hard life. I mean, look at all the knots and bumps we have that we still got from back in the day, you know. You know.
Look at Travis's forehead, by the way.
Travis's forehead and grabbed his shin. You know, I said, Larry's only got one fine leg left. He could start a style and just cut off one pants leg, have one nice leg, you know. Flash that sucker. You know, but me, you know, I got scars, you know, my head. Man, I hate to shave my head, you know. My head probably looks pretty. Look like an atlas up there, you know. Yeah, and it don't start inside. It starts before the hairline and ends in the back, you know. You know, yeah. and that ain't looking at the knuckles. Got teeth mark scars on the knuckles, you know. Really bragging of teeth marks on my knuckles. But
marks were there dragging on the ground.
Yeah,
but when you think of stuff, you know, like you know, these things that we talked about, these commodities, you know, Tanshi, do you remember when we had root cellars? Remember those cellars underground? People had squash, they had potatoes, they had all kinds of stuff in there. And they'd use that through the winter. All these old people, everywhere you went, these communities, they had these root cellars. So the people didn't go hungry, you know. And people took care of each other. There's no more of that, Tanshi.
Yeah.
There's no more.
Because they don't even want to. You know what? There's so much hate going on. This family hates that family. Everybody's hating on everybody. And you know, the worst thing about it is they'll rip you off for 10 cents.
Yeah.
You know,
everything's about Moses.
I mean, you know, and to me, you know, I just give somebody money because if you don't, they don't want to pay you back, and then they hide from you because they don't want to pay you back. And then what they'll do is throw smut on you, and the smut is why they won't pay. I ain't going to pay him back because he's an ex-felon. I'm not going to pay him back because, you know, because he beat up my uncle or something, you know. Or you know, they make up some kind of baloney not to pay you back. So
I'm not going to pay him back because he looked mean at my dog.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm not going to pay him back because he's after my wife. They do that too a lot, you know.
Yeah, I mean anything, Tanshi. The like you were saying, you tried to help them, and like the minute you ask for help, they charge you. They say, how much are you going to give me? That is something that's common on the reservation. When we was younger, that wasn't the case. If somebody needed help, we went over there and helped them. And it was up to that person to give us something. Even then, we used to refuse because that's what we was told to do. Because we're going to need that person's help someday, see? It's not like that anymore. There's no more people helping each other. There's no compassion. None at all. You get, even these young kids, you ask them to do something, then they say, well, how much is in it for me? What are you going to give me? That's the first thing out of their mouth. And that's common. And that's the practice on these, at least back home on my rest. People that you help are going to turn around and find excuses, all kinds of excuses, like Tanshi was saying, to come after you to where they don't have to pay you back. Or they'll find an excuse not to pay you back, saying they did this for you or they did that for you. And maybe that was 30 years, 40 years ago, you know. And you've done paid them threefold for it. But they remember that. To try not to pay you. Even $10. You know. So anymore, if somebody borrows, like Tanshi said, just give it to her. Because
and then, you know, then if you hire them to work for you, and if you pay them something up front, then they don't come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, they forget about it.
Yeah, they'll leave something off your car hanging.
Yeah. Your engine will be sitting on the ground and they'll be gone.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. You know, And when you see them, well, you didn't pay me enough, you know.
And they got more excuses than a an Indian going to jail when you jam them up, you know. Oh, I had to. They're trying to, you know, they come up with some good lines, you know. Oh, they're trying to take my daughter, so I was in court, you know. You know. You know, and
you know, country, growing up, we were told never to lie, to always be honest. Me and you, Larry, we live that. We live by that. Don't lie, you know. And your word means something. And we, that's how we grew up. Nowadays, like you said, it don't mean anything. If you have muzaska, that's the only time that you have a little bit of clout. You know, that's all it is. Money. All has to do with money anymore. There's people forgot about their relations. They forgot about their brothers, their sisters, their aunts, uncles, grandmas, everything. The main worship that they do is muzaska. Anything. They all, everybody, clear across the board. Like I say, what's muzaska? What's in it for me? You hear that a lot. And sometimes, like, I go back home and I help somebody. Somebody wants something or somebody needs something from Rapid because I'm going down to the rest. I'll get it and take it down. Then they ask me, how much is it? And I tell them, no, it's all right. You know, I just got it, picked it up for you. And they freak out. Jesus, you know when the last, I said, don't worry about it. You know, they say, when do you know when the last time that somebody did that for me, you know? I mean, people get real surprised when you pick up even car parts for them and you give them, like Zeno. You know, he needed the parts and I had the money, so I got it for him, gave it to him. And he said, how much? I said, no, it's yours. I just got it for you. And that's what he said. He said, do you know when the last time somebody did that for me was? You know, he said, geez, he said, I can't even remember, you know, is what he said. I said, well, you know, I had the money, and, you know, I said, you need the parts. I just got it for you. You know, you're my nephew, and that's, to me, that means something. And man, you know, he really appreciated that. But to hear things like that, not just from Zeno, but other people, and some people have a prominence, saying that that person didn't want to help me, or that person ripped me off. That person took this and didn't do this for me, you know. It's common. And that's where our people are headed. And it's sad because we weren't that kind of people. We were never that way. And that's why I told that story about these chiefs that went to Washington, D.C. way back in the day. And when they came home, they told the people with the soup light, all these people standing in the soup light, begging for food, money. And the chiefs looked at it and asked the president of the United States, what is that about? And he said, oh, they choose to live that way. They couldn't believe it. They went home and told the people back home, if we go that way, we're in trouble. We're there. And just think, how long ago was that? How long ago was that? That wasn't too long ago. That's how far we've come in just 60, 70, 80 years. It's sad, you know, the way things are going on our reservations, not only with neglect, with poor representation, all this hatred that Kanshi was talking about. They hate on you because you're trying to help them, so they don't have to pay you back. That's sad. Instead of being thankful.
They don't realize that once they leave the res, they're hated by the rest of the world, you know? So why are they spending time hating around here, you know? Because out in the world, when you go out in the world, you see what hate is, you know? I mean, you know, like this Hassafa kid stole a 77-year-old white woman's, hijacked her car, and then, you know, she wasn't trying to stop him, but she stood there, and so he just stabbed her to death. How do you stab an old lady to death? You know, I mean, that's what's going on in the world out there. They got some ugly, wicked things happening out there, you know. They're, you know, some four white kids murdered in Idaho at his college. You know, people don't even know how to live out there. And, you know, look at a cop killed that, like, I guess her name was Abby Steele.
A while back.
And she just had a baby 3 weeks ago. Where's the news on that? Where's all the Black Lives Matter? Where's all the else? You know, these Indians over here fighting each other. The cops kill them, you know.
Yeah.
No one's going to give a crap about them, you know. Where's all the unity, you know? Fight over stupid crap. When the white man out there is hating on each other, big time. Democrats are hating the Republicans. And, like, this Capitol riot defendant planned to kill FBI agents who investigated him on the, you know, January 6th. They got some real hate going on there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like we was talking about last week, how they they let that Brittany Griner go and act like she committed no crime. She's a hero back here. You know, like she never did nothing to get locked up just because it was Russia. But that's how screwed up this country is. So our reservation people are living raunchy right now. Their life depends on what happens outside in the world, the economy and stuff. And that economy out there is going downhill, you know? I mean, they're hating on each other.
Yep.
You know, you got, you know, all these millionaires and billionaires out there even fighting amongst each other. They got all these countries teaming up to gang on Russia right now, you know? And then what are they going to get out of it? They need that oil and that gas, you know? They know how to saw off the legs of their own chair, you know, and they don't realize, but they act like they're really experienced, knowledgeable world leaders, but they're stupider. You know, a white clay drunk is smarter than them, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have no brains, the leadership, no brains whatsoever. They don't know nothing, you know. And, you know, to be an Indian, think of all the things we have to know to survive. We have to know how to be a plumber. We have to know how to be a mechanic. We have to know how to be an electrician. We have to know how to be a father, a mother. We have to know how to work, do anything to survive. These young kids don't learn these skills. They're in trouble. You know, how many of these young girls know how to sew? They ain't got time for it nowadays. By the look of the pants they're wearing, you can tell they don't know how to sew. They got half their ass sticking out, you know?
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of there's no modesty in these girls today, you know, like you're saying. It might be ripped in the wrong place, but they're glad of this because they want to show it off. They want to be these washichuas, yeah. You know. Our mothers weren't like that.
Oh,
you know, our mothers are real modest, you know what I mean? They even hated showing their ankle, you know.
I could imagine my grandma in a mini skirt. You know, with purple hair or something, blue hair and earrings all over her.
That's crazy. If you try to make grandma do that, she'd bop you upside the head. She'd put you 6 feet under quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but, you know, it's wicked. These the modern grandmother, man. I mean, there's a few left still trying to be, you know, carry some tradition, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a few of them that are still hanging in there, you know. But I look at the majority of them, you know. You know, like some of my cousin women, they're my age or maybe a year or two younger. But they lost it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Then they want to wear fancy eyeglasses. Damn, those eyeglasses don't match our face. You know, when Indian wears stupid eyeglasses, man, damn.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Big little glasses, yeah. God, damn, look at that owl sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah, sitting around thinking they're looking, you know?
Then they act all pretty.
So we got in 50 years, we might not have a reservation. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. At the rate we're going.
They're just going to give it up. They're going to give up this way of life. And they're going to go pure Washichu. And the thing about it, is they don't have the skill to do that. And you know, there's people out there like Mexicans and South Americans that are coming that will work. That will work. And they'll hustle. So they're going to, that's what the Americans griping about, illegal aliens coming and taking their jobs because they're lazy. You know, they're lazy.
They just don't know how to work. How's supposed to know how to work? You know, how's supposed to come from slavery and only the laziest people alive? And the Washichus, they don't want to work, period, you know?
I went to Stockton. I had a load of pinto beans. And it was in the summertime. I seen some Hasapas. They didn't want to work. Man, get out of here, man. You crazy? You're hot in the head out here. You know?
Yeah.
So I said, shit. So I went and I couldn't find no Washichu. And then I seen two Mexicans strutting down the road. Hey, Garna, you want to work to get a trabajar? Man, they came over. Yeah, how much? I said, man, give you $100 a piece. Shit. They took off their shirts. Took off their pants, had boxers on and a bandana, and downloaded my beans in an hour.
Yeah,
you know?
That's how they are. And
they downloaded my beans, you know? And so they both made $200 in the hours of work, $100 a piece in the hours of work. You know? Shit. You know? And same way I was in Phoenix. I couldn't get no one to unload these bricks. Shit, I got some Mexicans. They jumped up there, took their pants off, had some fancy boxers on, and went to work, you know, bandana.
Yeah.
And they unloaded that truck. That's why they're working. But what the hell's wrong with the other people? Mm-hmm. Rather than work, they rather steal.
You know, Tanshi, you go to these cities, you go to these places, like in Vacaville there's a corner. If you go there, there's about 30 or 40 Mexicans. You pull in there, you load them up, they'll do whatever it is. They'll do anything. But that's where all these people go that need somebody to do work. And it's all Mexicans. There's no Hasapas. There's no Washichus. It's all Mexicans. And that place is always cleared out by about 8 o'clock. And people are looking for more workers, you know. That's how valuable those workers are. And that's these people, these Hasapas, these Washichus, they want to sit at a desk and boss people around, you know. And these guys, people saying, well, they're stealing our jobs? That's a bunch of BS, man. They're using that as an excuse to discriminate against our people from down south. Those people ain't both people.
Me and Bob Blownout, we're in a halfway house together. Then we mentioned his name on the radio without his permission, but we were in a halfway house together, and we got they made us work, so we worked for the county, and we had to dig ditches. We dug ditches with picks, and the ditches were like 18 inches wide and had to be, there you go again. The ditches were and had to be dug down about 4 feet deep. And So we did that. Me and him used to have a race. He'd get on that side, and I'd say, let's go. We stood on our hands, and we'd meet in the middle. Man, that Washichu used to trip on us, you know. He couldn't get those no Washichus to do that work, nobody else. And finally, Bob went home before me, and then I went home. That Washichu was trying to hire us permanently. We said, no, we're going home, bud. We hurt his feelings bad. We made him miss somebody. We made him miss two Indians, you know.
Yeah.
But look at me and my brother Larry. We worked when my cousin, my nephew was getting in and shit. I said, man, look at that guy. She said, you kids were like that. You were young once. I said, you know what? Don't compare me and my brothers to this guy. Because me and my brothers was out. We was out picking onions in the fields. We was working, cleaning up. Larry was working it. Larry was working, bringing in bucks. When we was starving, he was bringing in food, you know. We was going to the LA market, working, cleaning up, and getting bags of carrots, payment bags of carrots or watermelons and stuff, bringing them home, you know, just for cleaning up. We used to go to them, hey, you need help, you know, and we were little kids. Go clean that up. Shit was cleaning up. Even this Washichu was mad at his son. He said, I never ran across kids like those two little Indian kids, man. They work. Because we used to go door to door and pull weeds for quarters, you know. And our neighbors liked us because we'd go over there and pull weeds in their garden for quarters. Just to go to the store and get a bottle of soda and a fudgesicle. You know, and chips.
Yeah.
You know, sit in a phone booth and eat it. That's like great. This. And, you know, but we were. You can't compare. I told my aunt, don't compare us to this sorry ass kid. You know, me and my brothers worked. You know?
It's true.
You know?
It's true, though. You know, it's the truth, Kanshi. You know, that's what I say. Look at these kids today, like he was talking about. Guy just sat in the car, wanted you to dig him out, see? And he was a passenger in that car, you know? And he was just dead weight, but he was sitting in there. He didn't even, he didn't even want to come out until he realized he was going to freeze to death if he didn't do something about it. See? You had to show him the light before he really got involved, see? It shouldn't be that way. But these kids nowadays, like I was saying, anything and everything, What's in it for me? You know, what are you going to give me? You know. Yeah, and then you give it to them, but yet they don't do the work. They ditch. Then they find excuses, like you said, Tanshi, to put smut on you so they don't have to pay back. That's totally rugged.
He's an ex-felon anyway.
Deserve my help. You make every excuse in the book.
But before they get that money from me, they're sure sucking ass. They suck ass good to get that $5, you know, or $10.
Yeah.
They know how to suck ass, you know, and sound really humble, you know. But once they get that money, you know, I'm kind of glad my two nephews that just recently went off with some money not finishing their job, I'm glad not to see them no more. I'm done with them. You know, they won't be coming around here no more. You know, it's cheaper not knowing them, you know? And, you know, and then, so there goes there. I end up going to Tanawashichu or something to finish the job, you know? You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen. You know, we end up, and then they get mad because we end up having to hire some professional guy at Valentine with the garage and all that, you know? But we need the job done, you know? These Indians, you're trying to help them out, but they don't want to take it. They want to, you know, get the money and run, and that's it, you know? But that's all right. They can live like that. But one day they're going to be hurting for money, and they're going to come knocking on my door, Lexi, you know? They sure know how to use that word, Lexi. You know, and I'm gonna say, hey man, I'm busy. Can I come back tomorrow? And they come back the next day. I'll just make them come back forever and give them shit no more. You know, because they deserve it. You try to help these young people, they don't respect it. You know. So they're going to have a hard life. If they can give up a whole future for $50, then they ain't worth helping, you know? And that's why I usually don't give them no money ahead of time, you know? I tell them, you get done with the job. Remember I was telling you about my nephew? He said, I'm not like all the rest, so I paid him ahead of time, and there he didn't show up. Finally, I caught him at the post office in front of a crowd. I said, I thought you weren't like all the rest. Get your ass back down and finish my truck, God damn it. You know, in front of a crowd of people, you know. So he went down and finished it after I belittled him like that, you know. Finished it reluctantly, you know. But you see, it's bad when people do that for $50 or $100 and just, when they could benefit off you in the long run, because I need help. I'm getting old, you know, I could appreciate some help, you know, I mean, even hauling in firewood during the blizzard, you know, shit, I would have gave somebody some money to go out and haul that wood, you know. But that's the current young, and it just like you said, it ain't on our rest. The Navajo's got a big problem.
You know, Tanshi, the other thing that I realize that these kids growing up, a lot of these fatherless kids or these kids that grew up at their mother's, a lot of them use the law. They use the judicial. They threaten grown-ups of snitching them out.
Yeah.
To get by with a lot of these things. And You know, when we was growing up, you know, our parents were our uncles, grandmas, grandpas, dads, anybody that was older than you. That was your leader when your parents weren't around, and you listened. And if you didn't listen, when your parents got old, you sometimes got it from your uncles and your aunties and whatever else. And then when your parents got home, you got it again, you know? So there was kind of like a double whammy. So we grew up totally different from these kids today. And look at how they are. And they're turning more Wachichu, you know?
Yeah. You know, this young guy, you know, I was telling him, you know, because he idolizes Indian rappers, our Indian.
Yeah.
When an Indian does anything, he says, look, is this cool? You know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's cool because that rap, they're destroying our culture. So why would I idolize that just because it's an Indian? He sent me a video of a stupid Indian doing rapping and swishing and swaying, bent down, you know how hospitals do, and trying to look cool. I said, Matt, you know what? If I was going to play rap music, I'd be playing, jamming a guitar, a piano or something, playing it, you know, and I wouldn't be swishing around like a hospital. Yeah, you can do some rhymes and poetry and put music. Look at Jim Morrison did poetry, but you know, he's a wild dude too. But compare him to what the Hossuppas do, it's way different, you know. I mean, you know, I'm not condoning one over the other, but I played music. I did it all over. And I never ran out there, you know, I probably wouldn't look good in leopard skins anyway, but I never did no stuff like that, you know. I wearing those bitch boots, you know.
Clancy, don't lie. You look good in leopard skin.
Yeah, but that's only behind closed doors in front of the mirror. I'm a leopard skin. I wear the leopard skin pants as one of those a leopard skin painter hats. One of those painters were, you know. So I got a little cap with leopard skin cap with those leopard skin pants, you know. Yeah. Really?
I got a reach cloth that leopard skin crush.
And all the stretch marks hanging underneath it look like leopard skin. look like a tan tiger. Look like a tan tiger. When he was going the other way, they thought it was a tiger until he turned around. It was Vimber Hachola, you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's your shit.
Yeah, you know what? One time they said, there's a mountain lion over at the dump. I said, that wasn't a mountain lion. I said, that was my cousin Traber Hachola running over there. You know, Traber's wife started laughing. She said, that's about right when he's Hachola. He looks like a mountain lion. You know, with a black tail, you know, tan with a black tail.
Oh, man. God, we're getting this. Oh, man, we're getting way off again.
Yeah. But, you know, I was going to, Tanshi, you know, I was going to invite you and Philip and Wayne and all of you over to my house Christmas Eve to sing Christmas carols to me while I eat drink hot cocoa, chocolate, you know. The three of you, you can come over and wear Santa Claus hats and sing Christmas carols. And next year I'll do it for you.
How much are you going to pay me?
Yeah, let me borrow some of that snow.
Yeah. What's in it for me?
I'm going to pay. Next year I'll do it for you. I'll go all the way to Vacaville and stand out in the street and do it for you. You know, I'll even bring some old gangsters with me.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get leopard skin. There you go. Heck
I'll do that for you. Get your whole family on the porch with hot cocoa and cookies, and I'll be out there singing Silent Night and all that for you. Jingle Bells, Randolph the Reindeer, you know. I'll do that for you, you know, next year.
You know, they talk about this Santa Claus shit. You know, the way they show Santa Claus, to me, he looks like a Waino Washitu, you know, a big old red nose.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. A Waino Washitu dude. You know?
Then he ran over Grammy.
Grammy. Santa Claus is a brainwashing tool.
Yeah.
What they're doing is trying to program us to think free gifts come from white people.
It's not what they're doing, Wayne. It's what they did. You know?
Yeah.
They did it already. You know?
That's true. If you try to say something about Christmas to some of these people, Man, they act like they created it, or you know, it's their holiday. You know, Lakotas, we never did have that. You know, that's something that's foreign to us. But in 50 years, look at the damage they did with that, just that one holiday, Christmas.
There's a lot of people stressing over Christmas. Because they ain't got money. And I see it, you know, I hear it around, you know, you got no money. Well, you know, well, we didn't have money because we didn't go to, they didn't have Walmart, so we were small. So when we got gifts, there was like a homemade pair of socks or a homemade mittens, you know. We got stuff like that, or a blanket, homemade this and that. We didn't get stuff from the store when we got Christmas gifts, you know.
Think about this. When the Lakotas were going to have a giveaway, they put their things together, their relations, the ones that knew. They came together, and they saved up for a whole year just to have that giveaway. You know, Wichba, they call it. Santa Claus, you know, didn't exist in our world, but that did. We did that, and people did it every day. We live like that, by giving.
Well, because, you know, that's why, in the wintertime, like right now, in the wintertime, can you imagine 100 years ago living through this? So people lived together in this kind of weather. They stayed together closer, tighter, and they communicated as a, you know, family during this time. So what do you do in a blizzard? Sit there and teach your kids this and that, you know, tell them stories, you know, sing songs to them, you know. That's what they did during this time. It wasn't Christmas. It was the time of the year that you couldn't go to a place, so you stayed in the teepee with the kids and teaching them stuff, singing them songs, stuff you didn't do when it was a nice day. When it was, you're stuck in the teepee, you're in there all sewing, making stuff, sharing this and that, eating, you know. Wasn't starving back then, you know. There was no starving because our people knew how to save and you know, gavla meat and have it during a hard time. There was no no starvation before the Washitu came, period.
Yep.
You know, you no tribe starved. No Indian in these continents ever starved, you know, because when winter came, they knew how to deal with it, you know. And that's why this holidays is a special time. It ain't because of Christmas. It's because, you know, like you're stuck in a house. They were, or you're stuck in a society together, you know, and that's what made it better. I wish that nowadays our local people are like that, you know. I mean, I seen a guy outside, neighbor across the road, digging all day long out, man. I felt bad. I wanted to go help him, but you know, I'm so old I can't help him. You know, I wish I could. There's young people around. Why don't they run over and help the guy? You know, I mean, we used to do that. I mean, even up to 20 years ago, I got a picture of my van stuck out in front of the driveway, and I got 10 guys out there helping me get it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was 20 years ago. Nowadays, if my van stuck out there, ain't nobody coming to help. I wanted to help that guy, but next door to him is some tough youngsters living there. You know, they only go out in the nighttime, you know, all night long, driving to the connection or the bootlegger, you know. Say, go help that guy.
Yeah,
you know, there's
cool.
young, you know, there's young people around here. They see that guy out there. Why don't they get up? I'm too old to help him, but I want it to. I want it to. He was digging when I went. I went to the store about a couple hours later, came back. He was still digging. I wanted to help him, but I can't, you know, but there's neighbors with kids, young people around.
Young kids.
Why is they over there helping them?
There's no,
you know,
long ago, wasn't there? When somebody needed wood long ago, we got wood together, gave it to that person, you know, and we shared
you know
everybody
what?
Help.
Hey, we got to go.
Yeah.
That I thought that one was a seven. It's a one. So, you know, you have to take us out, Tashi.
We're going to say a prayer and we'll let it go.
You know, I thank you all for coming, and we're going to have to head out right now.
In the beginning
and,
of time, there was an entity that moved about in the black
so Doksha.
Bilakota called him Tokahea, the first stone. From this was born one red woman, one red man. As they walked upon the earth, they were given a prayer. To this day, we walk with their prayer. Ho mitakiepi, tiikche ka tokahea okitahan. Chetanthan ka tokahe kiena wo witan yuha mani. We cho iena oloa mkahi.
No, but remember we used to have long johns back in them.
Yeah.
Wait.
Long johns. Some of them had a trapdoor in the back.
Yeah. They're real proper.
Kashwa, Kate Topa, Wankatake, Yutawaka, and Uchimaka. Echim say, Kje, we chashak a little heapna. Hoini chapi. Ushun kilapo, we chose on Wawoki, Wolakote Chela.
Pesapaki, Iwoglaka. At this gathering place, the Black Hills, we depend upon Ptehinchala, the buffalo calf, for all our spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. This way of life is known throughout the world. It is here we call home.